Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And I'm back. Michael Cohen here, 1320 WILS. Hey, send us some feedback. If you have any thoughts on the interviews we've had tonight, anything you want to tell us in response, I'd be happy to read comments on the air anonymously, of course. The email address is capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. So, okay, just because you say or you think that you've forgiven someone for something hurtful they've done against you, does that really mean you have? Resentments can linger far beyond our immediate awareness. So how can we really let go? To find out, I'm joined by Lori Coburn, an interfaith leader and a former psychotherapist with over 25 years of experience and the author of the book Breaking Free, How Forgiveness and A Course in Miracles Can Set You Free. Lori, welcome to the program.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
Now, your book is also available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and Balboa Press.
Yes.
So, Lori, it seems that some people have a much easier time in forgiving others than some others do. Now, isn't there a certain amount of time that you're supposed to feel some negative feelings over a hurtful incident before letting go?
I don't think there's a certain amount of time you're supposed to feel, although most of us usually do feel pretty angry and hurt for some period of time. And in psychotherapy, we encourage people to let their feelings be there, but hold the intention to forgive. And you asked, how can you tell if somebody has forgiven? If that person can cross your radar screen without a blip, then you probably have forgiven. But a lot of times people think that that's the case, and then they might see the person a couple years down the road and go, inside their gut, which would tell them, no, they really, truly have not forgiven that person.
I see. Well, I can't imagine if something happens that you could, for something very dramatic and painful, you could forgive them within a day or two. What's the process of getting to the point where you don't have those feelings?
Well, the process would be, one, allowing yourself to be hurt and angry. Also, looking at it in a different way. In the book, I talk about the paradigm shift of no victims and no victimizers. And that's what helped me with the major forgiveness lessons in my life. What the no victims and no victimizers incident is about is that somehow you drew this situation into your life so that you could learn to forgive, learn to access a higher place of love in your heart and soul, so that this person that did this to you is actually an angel in disguise. And that's a pretty hard concept to accept right away.
Oh, no, it's very difficult, especially when you talk about situations that involve children and predators. I mean, it can be a situation where someone would have to almost acknowledge there is some victimhood there. Is that really the only way, though, to avoid feeling lifelong resentment by completely going away from this victim concept?
Well, I think what happens to people is if, say, even 20 years down the road, if they still think, well, I've forgiven that person, but I'm not going to forget, I think they are actually harboring stuff in their being, in their cells, so to speak, that could actually make them sick. So yes, I do believe that the only way to get over is to completely forgive.
Okay, when you say angels in disguise, I guess if you could elaborate, because they certainly don't appear to be angels, especially when someone feels they've been victimized by somebody.
Definitely. They certainly don't feel like angels at this level, and initially it's really hard to see that. But what happens when you forgive and your heart opens up to so much love and to oneness with all people, including the person who victimized you, it's almost like another otherworldly experience of togetherness, oneness, transcendence. And that's how they become the angel in disguise, because they pushed you beyond your limits.
I'm talking to Lori Coburn, interfaith leader, former psychotherapist with over 25 years of experience, and author of the book Breaking Free, How Forgiveness and A Course in Miracles Can Set You Free. You can find her at loricoburn.com. That's loricoburn.com. So aren't there people that are addicted to resentment, that kind of go along their life with a feeling of kind of validation by feeling a certain way, that a negative way towards somebody?
Oh, yes. Those are the typical victims that we get tired of listening to their barrages about other people.
So when you encounter that, do you think that's typically a situation where someone's actually willfully remaining stuck in that place?
Well, they may not be conscious of what they're doing, but at some level, yes, they are willfully doing it. This type of forgiveness that I talk about in the book is a very conscious process where you have to decide to forgive. And one of the things that I talk about is how when you make that decision, you are actually turning over to a higher part of your mind, the part of your mind that is all love, that knows its oneness with all of life. That part is what takes over and forgives for you. And I experienced that personally in my life because there was no way I could forgive these people. But that part took over and did it for me.
And how important do you think being religious is in terms of forgiving? I mean, can someone who does not believe in a higher power really forgive?
Oh, yes. You don't have to believe in a higher power or God or anything. Everybody has this part of their mind that is total love.
But how about time, too? I mean, if you have been feeling a certain way for decades, which many people who have kind of an embedded resentment towards a childhood, you know, a predator, or a lot of people focus their energy at their parents. I mean, how do people break out of these such long-term patterns?
Well, again, the longer you go, the harder it can seem. But forgiveness actually can happen in an instant. It's the decision. There is a part of our mind that is outside of time and space. And when we make a decision with that part of our mind, time and space kind of collapses into this instant where there's this miracle change in your thinking. And forgiveness can happen just like that.
Well, that sounds magical, although isn't part of the issue is you may feel like you've forgiven somebody and you feel solidly about that, and then maybe feelings return after a while and then they kind of go away. Doesn't it ebb and flow sometimes?
Yes, it does. And in fact, for most people, that is the case. Most people don't forgive in an instant or very quickly. It's a process that ebbs and flows over time. You're right.
And how about acknowledgement from the perpetrator or someone that you're blaming for a bad experience? How important is it that you know that they know what they did?
Well, it does help when that person apologizes to you. It helps tremendously. But you can still forgive even if that person never admits they did anything.
I see. And what about people that find almost any reason to feel angry about or feel like they've been victimized? I mean, aren't there certain criteria for what really does deserve to be called like a real transgression?
Can you say that again?
Well, in terms of people that get mad at almost the slightest kind of, insults and find that someone, you know, has victimized them or made them feel bad about something. I mean, is there a criteria for a person to kind of knowing when something is a serious violation versus something that they should really be easily letting go without any issue?
Well, the people that you're describing would be called rageaholics. They're angry all the time just because they're angry to begin with. Now, the whole thing about forgiveness is, though, that you apply it to everything in your life. If you truly want to be peaceful and loving, forgiveness extends even over the little minor things that tick you off from day to day, as well as the major transgressions, the truly victimized things such as sexual abuse and those things.
Well, let me ask you about parents once again, because to me, that is where people seem to really like to focus on when it comes to looking back at their life and blaming people for things. It's one thing to forgive your parent maybe for their lack of parenting, but what about situations where you continually have to be in the presence of someone who you feel is a negative influence on you?
Well, that's a good question. I actually just had a client recently who was sexually abused by her father. And many therapists told her, just cut him off. Don't ever be around him again. But that just didn't feel right to her. So she kept intending to forgive him. And he would provoke her. He would criticize her, say, you know, she'd bring a pie over for Easter, and he would tell her, just get rid of that pie. He was just a nasty man. But what ended up happening with her intention to forgive was she was able to be around him not react to his hostility, and then he actually started turning around toward her.
And I want to go back one more time to this idea then. So how does it work? You basically have to open your mind to the idea that every experience you have, you're involved in and somehow responsible for in a metaphysical way?
Yes, yes. It doesn't mean you're not a victim at this level. At this level, there are victims. Certainly, Jerry Sandusky, Penn State, for example, victimized those children, and he should never, ever have done that. That's a horrifying thing. But at a metaphysical level, where we are all joined as one, there are certain soul agreements, if you will, so that we can learn forgiveness and learn love and learn our oneness.
Certainly something many of us can learn from, learning how to forgive. Lori Coburn, you can find her book, Breaking Free, How Forgiveness and A Course in Miracles Can Set You Free, at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and Balboa Press. Also, her website, LoriCoburn.com. Lori, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Michael.